Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses. They were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Father, I pray that you open our minds, granting us wisdom and revelation to know the greatness of your glory, to know the reality of your kingdom, and to grow in our faith through the preaching and hearing of your word. It's through Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. And please be seated. Yeah, this past Christmas, something happened for the first time in 800 years. Saturn and Jupiter converged to form what we call the Star of Bethlehem, or the Christmas Star. The convergence could be seen from anywhere in the world during the week of Christmas. Maybe you saw it and felt the chills of inspiration and the awe of God's greatness. And one person in the congregation reported to me seeing it with tears of inspiration and awe. It was an amazing event, once in a millennium. And words cannot really describe the significance of it, because we don't really have adjectives anymore worthy of the caliber of such an extraordinary occurrence, because we use all of our descriptive adjectives loosely as hyperbole about things that are more or less pedestrian. For example, we might say, "That chocolate pie was awesome," because it was really good. I had it last week, trust me. We might say something like, "That sports play was unbelievable," or "What an amazing ride that we just went on at Disney." These are phrases that are fine, but what is left for something truly extraordinary, and even something that is humanly and naturally impossible, that we can never duplicate, or has never happened before and probably won't ever happen again? So we're challenged to describe and comprehend something as extraordinary as the transfiguration of Jesus that Father Drew read from the Gospel of Mark. This sensational and seminal event happened once in Jesus' life on the earth. Nothing like it has happened before or since, as far as we know. And we can't say with our overstretched language that it was out of this world, because it happened in our world. It happened among people. The transfiguration of Jesus. He takes with him three of his close disciples, James, John, and Peter. And they go up a mountain to pray. And during the prayers of the night, the disciples, their eyes are heavy and they fall asleep. And they awake to see Jesus transformed in brilliant radiance, white like lightning. And they see him with him, Moses and Elijah, that he must have told them who they were. Two great figures in their faith who had long since died. And as they're in awe, not knowing what to say, a cloud of God's glory envelops all of them. And in the midst of that cloud, they hear the voice of God, as only God can speak from his throne in heaven, saying, "This is my Son. Listen to him." And they fall on the ground in fear, trembling. And when they look up, they see only Jesus in the midst the silence and the darkness. And they gape in awe, in wonder of that event and what it means. Is it significant? To say the least. Jesus is Lord, God's Son. Listen to Him. And saints alive, Elijah and Moses are there alive speaking in the flesh with Jesus. In the glory of God, like nothing else in this world, manifesting His reality, His kingdom. This historical event, when reflected upon, must change how we view and live life in this world and the reality of the presence of the kingdom of God and the command from God above to listen to Jesus, His own Son. It shows that there is a glory and a power beyond anything that we can describe. There's an authority above and beyond our nature that commands us with authority to listen and obey. And in the midst of all of that, there is a grace to abide in the glorious presence of God, not facing His wrath, but experiencing His love and acceptance. That this is my Son. Listen to Him. He speaks forgiveness. He speaks salvation. He speaks that you are loved and saved if you are only willing to come and to receive. The gospel writers Matthew, Mark, and Luke all describe this narrative in its historical context. And in John's gospel, he describes the experience and what he saw. In the first chapter of John, he writes in chapter 1, verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Confirming to John who Jesus is. The Apostle Peter, who was there along with John on the mountain, in his second letter, which was read this morning, in verse 16, he writes to the church, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you of the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain." Confirming what the gospel writers have said, he's letting the church know this was true. I saw it. I heard it. I experienced it. How is it relevant for us? Is it only in a historical event to let us know that, yes, Jesus is Lord and His glory appeared 2,000 years ago on this mountain in front of three of His closest friends? Or is it more than that? Is it saying, yes, this happened. Jesus was glorified. The voice spoke from heaven, the Father. And it is something for you to experience as well. Maybe not just like that, that we won't see Jesus full of radiance and glory in the flesh, but maybe we can experience the glory of the kingdom of heaven, experience the Word of God spoken to us through Scripture and His Holy Spirit and through the body of Christ. Maybe we can be surrounded by His glory, unseen but present. Maybe we can realize the ongoing reality, the eternal life of the saints in God, like Moses and Elijah. As during communion every Sunday, we join our voices with angels and archangels and with all the saints of heaven who continue to live in the presence of God. This is what the transfiguration shows us happened and is something that we can experience as well. This is a manifestation of the power and the glory of God through Jesus, we can avail ourselves of it. In the midst of His power and glory, the grace and love. Can we not hear His word today through Scripture and His Spirit and through each other? And today is Founders Day for Christ Church in the state of Georgia. Normally we would have an oyster roast this afternoon. As we think about the history of Christ Church, the story from 1733, isn't it a story of transfiguration, of a people, of a community, of buildings and beyond? A congregation of God's people that have been active, worshiping, and being faithful to God's word since 1733 is no insignificant matter. It's not natural. It's not normal. It's supernatural. And even through the last few decades of Christ Church and its history, by God's grace, the people of Christ Church have stood faithful and true to the gospel of Jesus and to the authority of Scripture in the midst of a denomination that had lost its footing and moved further and further away from the apostolic teaching. Christ Church stood its ground in the face of tremendous cultural and community pressure and opposition. The faithful people of this congregation, remarkably, were willing to walk away from a centuries-old structure, standing in a place of stature, of prominence, in the midst of the community of prominence and stature in downtown. It was a journey made by many to jeers and mockery of the world, but also to the tearful singing and encouragement of God's people. And God brought Christ Church here to Thomas Square, to a new place, a new neighborhood, and a new work of faith and a labor of love. And it's not obvious to the newcomers to the church that Christ Church exists because of years of sacrificial labor and of rock-hard steadfastness that has contributed to the spiritual health and well-being of this place and this people. The story of Christ Church Anglican that I've been privileged to hear from so many different perspectives over the last 2 months is a story of transfiguration. Even in this building, it's been transfigured, and it is in the process of creating and housing a people that will transfigure this community. We must be assured that this is not only of historical significance, that we are members of a church that has been in existence since 1733, but it is for the present, it is for the future, for the ongoing history of God's work. His amazing, His awesome, His supernatural and unbelievable work. Such words are accurate for what He does and not hyperbole. It comes through prayer, through listening to Him, through the communion of the saints, through keeping our eyes on Jesus, through standing and moving forward in faith, overcoming the spiritual opposition, not wrestling against people, but against the spiritual forces of evil and overcoming them to the glory of God and the building up of His kingdom. In the midst of such a glorious 300-year historical foundation, Christ Church continues to stand in faith today, and we can only move forward in faith. As we reflect on and remember and applaud the testimonies of blood, sweat and tears, dollars and suffering that have contributed to the health of this congregation, as well as the joys, the celebrations of answered prayers, and the fellowship of the relationships that continue, we bless God through and only through whom it is possible to stand and continue as His people. God is bringing about ongoing transfiguration among us. God is bringing about new creation. That's what He does. Jesus says in Revelation, I am making all things new. And He is bringing about renewal and revival. Otherwise, we would be a static people. But we know He is bringing about renewal and revival right here among us. And it will spread through us to this community. And I believe that we'll see spiritual renewal right here in this community. Our rootedness in the gospel and our foundation in faith and commitment to God cannot help but transfigure us and those around us. The Holy Spirit moves through us. The glory of God surrounds us. God speaks to us, and He empowers us. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come and have your way among us. We don't want to put limits on you. We don't want to hold you and keep you where you are today. We want you to move through us and move us forward. Christ Church has not come to this place apart from sacrificial commitment, apart from faithful rootedness, apart from hard work and earnest prayer. And we will not fulfill God's calling for us and the mission of this church without continuing in those spiritual disciplines. And I want you today to be encouraged by the history of this church, to be encouraged by God's blessings in the past and in the present. And I want you to be encouraged as you imagine all the faithful prayers that have been prayed for this people in this church since 1733. Just imagine. Imagine all the prayers we will pray today. Multiply through the years, the decades, the centuries for this people in this place, in this community, in this city. Those faithful prayers are being answered today, and they will continue to be answered by God into the future. The prayers of faithful pastors, and if you look on the back of your bulletin, you'll see a list of so many pastors. But our faith is not in ourselves. Our faith is not in our pastors. Our faith is in God. And as the church has prayed over all those centuries, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, who was and is to come. And in light of what the author of Hebrews 13:7 says, we remember the past as we experience God in the present and look forward to God's work in the future. Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. The God who heard the prayers of the past, the God who hears our prayers today, is the God who is answering them now and in the future. I want to read some prayers from three of the pastors of Christ Church, the well-known pastors, John Wesley. And I want you to imagine John Wesley's prayers for Christ Church back when he was a pastor being answered even among us today. Wesley prayed, I continue to dream and pray about a revival of holiness in our day that moves forth in mission and creates authentic community in which each person can be unleashed through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to fulfill God's creational intentions. That's what was prayed for Christ Church. That is what is being answered even today by God. And listen to this prayer by George Whitefield, the pastor who succeeded John Wesley, as he prays for God to raise up leaders. Yea, that we shall see the great head of the church once more raise up unto himself certain young people whom he may use in his glorious employ. And what manner of people will they be? People mighty in the scriptures, their lives dominated by a sense of the greatness, the majesty, and the holiness of God, and their minds and hearts aglow with the great truths of the doctrines of grace. They will be a people who have learned what it is to die to self, to human aims and personal ambitions, men and people who are willing to be fools for Christ's sake, who will bear reproach and falsehood, who will labor and suffer, and whose supreme desire will be not to gain earth's accolades, but to win the Master's approbation when they appear before his awesome judgment seat. They will be people who will preach with broken hearts and tear-filled eyes, and upon whose ministries God will grant an extraordinary effusion of the Holy Spirit, and who will witness signs and wonders following in the transformation of multitudes of human lives. Amen. May it be answered among us today and tomorrow. And then Francis Bland Tucker, the great hymn writer who was pastor and rector of Christ Church, in one of his hymns, he prayed, watch over thy church, O Lord, in mercy. Save it from evil. Guard it still, perfect in thy love. Unite it, cleansed and conformed unto thy will. All these prayers being answered by God today as they continue to waft before his throne like incense. And if you look on that list, you'll see that the longest tenure is Father Mark, 29 years. Just imagine how many prayers Father Mark prayed for this church during his tenure. just in 2 months, or in the 3 weeks that we were together and in the few months that we talked on the phone prior to that, I heard so many of the prayers. And I know God's answering them today. So while today we can't have the traditional oyster roast to celebrate Christ Church's Founders Day, we add our prayers to these prayers for the church, for the neighborhood, as God has brought us here to be a church for the neighborhood. And how can we bring about transfiguration in this neighborhood? But through our prayers and then walking the Christian life out among this neighborhood. You see, the transfiguration, it wasn't just a glorious event. It was a prayer time. Luke tells us in his account, chapter 9, verse 28, Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. And this is what happens when God's people pray. Things are transfigured. The kingdom of heaven comes. God speaks. People are left in awe. So let us keep praying. The transfiguration relies on prayer. And today, the rain notwithstanding, we're kicking off two prayer initiatives that will be ongoing for the church, because we want our future to be outward and to begin with prayer. So we developed a prayer walk, and there's a bulletin to serve as a guide to do a prayer walk around the 10 blocks from 37th Street down to 34th Street, over to Abercorn and back up to 37th in a square with prayer stations praying for our neighborhood. And there's a guide, and the prayers are all in this little booklet that's by the front door. And we were going to do it together today after the following service, but I think the rain will delay that until next time. But you can take one of these and do it anytime on your own, and you can add your own prayers. And then during the announcements, Father Drew is going to share another prayer initiative to pray for our neighborhood here and for your neighbors. In closing, if you remember that story about Elijah that was read, God gives instructions through his word, a gentle whisper to Elijah. But that word and those instructions and Elijah's ability to walk it out relied on 7,000 Israelites who had not bowed their knee to Baal, but stayed true to God in their prayers. It is the prayers of the church that enable transfiguration through the ministry of the church. So let us be a praying church, that our history will resemble our past and give glory to God. And happy Founders Day. God bless. Amen.